Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Guys, welcome to season 2, episode 23 of our Montessori Babies podcast. Today is a really special interview with the lovely Emma from Montessori Twin Mama. So before I get into her bio and our conversation and everything, I have a few quick updates. So first, just because I know some of you are following along my own Montessori motherhood journey, my son is just a full-blown toddler now, and I am having so much fun, including him, getting him involved around our house in the most, you know, Montessori teacher mama kind of way. So he's helping out with laundry now. We're sorting, we're doing dishes, we're washing dishes, we're putting them away. He started to help clean and set the table and just all these really, really fun things. And he's so, so excited to get involved in these things. You see those moments of just true empowerment, you know, when he does it and he looks at me and I'm like, oh, you put it on the table, you know, just so, so exciting. And I've also noticed more and more moments of independent work. So for example, if I have gone to do something in the next room or in the kitchen or whatever, of course I'm nearby and everything is child safe and everything, but I like to go and just kind of peek and see what he's doing without like fully interrupting his concentration moment. And he is doing so much good work now. He's pulling it off the shelf. He's sitting and doing the work as it's presented. Of course, there's manipulation within that, manipulating the material, but it's just so, so, so fun to see a lot of, you know, what we've been working on, a lot of the foundational pieces that we were focusing on in infancy up until this point, because it all builds, you know, on top of everything else to create what will be, you know, your child and who they will become as an adult one day. And so it's just so, so cool to see these purposeful pieces all kind of coming to fruition and more light as he becomes more of his own little tiny human. So anyway, that's that little update. I also wanted to share a lovely testimonial that I got from a mom in my Montessori Babies course. So you guys know that this is my main course. This is my main offering, and it is aimed at transforming your parenting experience to give you all the tools you need to support your baby's development through Montessori from birth through toddlerhood. So this mom, her name is Becky, and she said, I've absolutely loved this course and I recommend it to so many of my friends. The best thing I've got from this course is confidence. I feel so confident in how I approach parenting, such as redirecting when starts hitting the dog. I can redirect him to the drum or when he throws something. I redirect to the ball basket. It makes the everyday feel so much more calm and peaceful. I feel so much more prepared and it makes me less stressed out too. I feel I'm able to parent in a way that's gentle, thoughtful, and focusing on his developmental, emotional, and physical needs. I feel it's helped me free up time for me to be so much more present with my baby. The course is very considerate and broken down into modules and then into 10 minutes, give or take, videos, which is perfect when you only have a few minutes here or there. I find Bianca very considerate, thorough, and thoughtful, and I love that the baby development knowledge she has is weaved in amongst the Montessori info. There are so many golden nuggets where you feel such a visceral aha moment. Everything seems to make sense and it all fits in holistically to provide a nurturing approach to how you interact with your little one. I love that it focuses on all activities in the day too and have the printout stuck on the wall for when I needed inspiration. I love that everything is thought of from baby sign to language cards to activity ideas at different developmental stages and all of it underpinned by the principles so it makes complete sense as to why you're doing something a certain way. If you are undecided about whether to go for it, I say yes, go for it. It's been such a beautiful game changer for me and has made me and my baby's life so much richer for it. And oh my gosh, to accurately describe the joy that I felt reading that, because that is my goal, is to support you guys as much as I can with what, you know, I've learned throughout the years, and it's happening. So I am so, so excited. If there are any of you who are interested in joining the Montessori Babies course, I definitely suggest starting with the Montessori Babies parenting class. It is on fostering independence. That is the number one way to get started in the home and the quickest, easiest easiest and totally free way to see results, to see that empowerment, for you to feel peace in that you're supporting your baby's development through this approach. And within that workshop is a very special promotion for the Montessori Babies course. So I definitely suggest checking it out. You're going to get just this whole slew of rich information that will only enhance your current experience. So definitely check it out. I have it linked in the show notes. Okay, so now jumping into our interview. For this episode, I thought I would start with a quote that I thought just really embodied some of what we spoke about, which is the uniqueness of each child. So Teal Swan, who's an author, said, "There is almost nothing more beautiful than witnessing a child's uniqueness unfold. Seeing the truth belonging to a being play out in embodied form is like seeing a flower bloom that will never bloom again, or tasting a spice that is so rare and sweet that you are frozen in rapture." First, you guys know I love quotes, and I also happen to love really poetic and beautiful language, and that just was such a gorgeous quote, and I feel like it really embodies the uniqueness of each child, which is so true even in respect to twins. So as you will see once we jump into this interview. So my interview was with Emma from Montessori Twin Mama. So Emma is a wife and mother to identical twin boys. She completed her Montessori elementary training and spent 5 years teaching in a Montessori classroom. Emma comes from a large family as she's one of seven. She recently started a blog, which is themontessoritwinmama.com, and is sharing about her experience raising twin boys in a Montessori home. So let's go ahead and jump into our interview with fellow Montessorian and mama, Emma. Thank you so much, Emma, for coming on our show. I'm so excited to have you.
So great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Bianca.
Of course. So our audience can get to know you a little bit, can you start by telling us a bit of your history in Montessori, as well as what you currently do, so our audience can get to know you?
Yeah. So I have always had a desire for teaching since I was a little girl, just would love to play school. And then when I was in high school, I had the opportunity to observe in a Montessori classroom. And I didn't really know much about Montessori at the time. And once I did that observation, I went home and I remember telling my mom, I want to be a Montessori teacher. And so I ended up going through Montessori training, and I started my Montessori training at the same time as I started my undergrad program for elementary education. And then I taught lower elementary for 5 years at a private Montessori school. And when I got the news that we were expecting twins, it was pretty clear that I needed to step out of the classroom and be home. So I have now been home for a little over a year now. And I had this desire to start documenting our journey raising twins in a Montessori home. When I found out I was pregnant with twins, one of the first things I looked up was how to do Montessori with twins. And to my surprise, there weren't many resources out there talking about it. And so it just continued to be on my heart to share that. And so now launched the blog and starting a YouTube channel.
Wow.
Getting, just seeing where it goes. So
awesome. Good for you. That's incredible. And it's such a needed area, especially like being in the infant space myself. I have gotten questions from moms with twins, and that's something I have light experience in the classroom, but obviously being a mom to twins, it's a whole other, you know, ball game. It's definitely a needed resource. So good for you. So I am so excited to talk to you about your experience being a mom to twins. So to start, would you mind sharing how old your twins currently are and how it's been raising them with the Montessori approach?
Yeah, my boys are 10 months old, so they're identical twins, and it's been such a beautiful experience. I think it's changed over these 10 months, but the thing that has kind of been a theme throughout is just our Montessori prepared environment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, early on, that was prepared with baby mobiles and that mirror. And now that they're very mobile, the environment looks a lot different. And so that's been fun to kind of have that environment change. Mm-hmm. I think that, so we've been using Montessori floor beds with them, which was something I was really excited to try with twins. And it's definitely been an experience. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Montessori approach with our boys has just made sense. Like, it just is natural, and mm-hmm. it allows them to do what they naturally want to do by having that freedom of movement. And even just today, I was watching them and observing them in one of our areas in our home, and they, you know, just saw the toys on their shelf and just crawl over, pull themselves up, grab the things, go back. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that this space is for them. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful. You mentioned the floor bed experience. How has that been?
Well, okay. Well, to start, they were in our room like for nighttime sleep for probably the first 5 months. But then I did nap them in their room. I just lay them once they were asleep on their floor bed. For a while, they're not moving, so it wasn't that exciting. Mm-hmm. Once they started moving, I mean, mm-hmm. they would get off their bed and move around. And then I think it was around 4 months that they kind of started putting themselves to bed on their mm-hmm. own a bit more, just a little bit more independence there. Mm-hmm. And then more lately, since they can like get off the floor bed and back on the floor bed, I remember the day that they got off and then they played around and they got back on their floor bed and fell asleep. And I was like, they did it. Like, they know that this is the place for sleep. Sometimes they have to go in there and just move them back to their bed and tell them it's bedtime. Mm-hmm. They might get off again, but usually they fall asleep. It's been fun to see their interactions. One day, one of them was still asleep, and I've transitioned to having them both on one like twin size mattress. Before, I had like a crib size and a twin. Anyways, it works better. They want to be next to one another. And so just gone to the one. But at the time, they were on separate ones, had fallen asleep on separate beds. One woke up. The other one was sleeping. He crawled over, wanted to like play, was touching the other one. Mm-hmm. Realized that baby was not waking up. And so crawled into bed with him and fell asleep right next to him.
Oh my God.
It was one of those moments where I was going to go up there and be like, should I grab him so he doesn't wake his brother? I don't know. We'll just give it a few more minutes, just a lot of observation. And I'm so glad I like waited to see what he would do.
Oh my gosh.
And that's they like so huddled right up next to each other. It was so sweet.
Oh my gosh. That's so beautiful. When I was in the classroom, I had parents of twins and they would talk about how like they love to be in close proximity to each other. And so that's so cool to hear, just that allowing like the freedom and then using observation, and you just totally followed them. That's so beautiful. So when I was in the classroom setting, the teacher next door and I had this wonderful free flow classroom. So we had two classrooms with this tiny space that connected the two. And so we would collaborate and leave the door open so the kids could free flow between both environments. And so we would often get twins. So I think we got three or four different sets throughout the time that I was there. I mean, I would get one and she would get one. And so they kind of had like their own class, but then they got to, you know, see each other throughout the day, that kind of thing. And it was so cool to see how similar, but so, you know, just beautifully unique each child was. So do you have tips for parents of twins on how to honor the uniqueness of each child?
I mean, people will ask me all the time, like, are they the same? Are they different? And they are very different. You know, even today I gave them some lunch and one, I gave them the same thing at first. So then one was very much not interested. So I offered him something different and he liked that food. And the other one chose the first thing I gave him. Mm-hmm. And so I think actually naturally with identical twins, at least, I almost latch on to the differences more when some people mm-hmm. see the similarities more, because you're trying to like set them apart. They look so similar. So I feel like you're always kind of looking for what's different in a good way, but they are two different people. And so I think we've just tried to treat them like two different people, especially with sleep in the beginning. I mean, a lot of twin parents or resources might say, like, get them on the same schedule, you know, wake one baby up if the other one is waking up. And we tried that. And it like made me go crazy because it wasn't natural to like treat one baby like the other baby just because that one was awake. They're different people, you know, like their needs are different. Mm-hmm. And so naturally it's kind of worked its way out now where they have more of a similar schedule. But I actually learned to value that time, that by having a little bit of a different schedule, I got some more one-on-one time with each one of them. Was a little bit easier to manage because it was just one baby and well, one would be asleep. So I would just say, allow the time, do what they do, see, like observe them as individuals and And you'll notice, I think you'll notice more this beautiful interplay between them rather than just lumping them as one sum together.
Yeah.
But they are cute. Like, they move around. They're this, like, just organic, like, one goes over here and then makes a noise with something and then the other goes over there. And they just, like, flow around the house together, like this little train that just keeps moving. So they naturally want to be together, but are very different still.
Really good tips. I feel like just kind of within the same person, like even with one child, we're so different from day to day, moment to moment, you know, infants are constantly shifting. So I think that's such a beautiful piece of advice to just follow each child. That makes so much sense. So for parents who are going to have twins, we do have expectant parents who listen to our show. So do you have like general, you know, tips for them for what they're about to, you know, embark on?
My first tip would be to ask for help, like in advance. At baby showers, people would be like, oh, I'd love to help. But I would be like, are you serious? Because I'll put your name down and I'll actually like ask you. And I did. Like, I think there was one day I had my sister-in-law's mother-in-law come over. And quite honestly, for the first 3 months, my husband went back to work very quickly. And so I had help almost every day, not necessarily all day, but even a few hours. I had some former students of mine come and help just hold babies. Mm-hmm. And it was just really nice to have the help so that you felt like you could meet those needs more rather than feeling like it's too much to handle.
Absolutely.
And to just get help with the housework and laundry and being able to like stay on top of some of those things. It made it possible with the extra help.
If you're a new parent hoping to implement Montessori at home, you may be surprised to know that you will be spending the majority of your days fostering independence with your baby. Yes, even more than the Montessori toys, materials, activities, and furniture that you see on social media. And fostering independence is the easiest and quickest way to transform your parenting experience, bringing peace to your parenting as you optimize your baby's growth during their most crucial years of development. Plus, fostering independence is the most misunderstood Montessori concept for babies. That is why I am teaching my Montessori workshop on fostering independence from infancy to toddlerhood. In this 30-minute workshop, you will learn what it truly means to foster independence the Montessori way, plus you'll get the exact steps on how to foster independence with our non-mobile babies, our sitting, slithering, crawling, and cruising babies, and our young toddlers. This workshop is usually $9, but because my goal is to support you as much as possible, I am gifting it to you totally free. So if you're ready to transform both your experience and baby's experience during their most crucial time in their developmental journey, click the free workshop link in the show notes. And now back to our show.
So that's one tip. Another would be kind of like I said, just not worrying too much about the schedule and just going kind of with what happens, because I don't know, the newborn stage, what happens one day is not a determination of what's going to happen the next day. And I think I learned that quickly, because we'd have a good night and I'd be like, it'll be like this tonight. And then it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I just being very flexible. And then one other thing that kept me really, I think helped just the whole process and adjustment to twins was this idea of empathy. And I remember talking to my husband about this, like in preparation for having the twins, thinking this is going to be hard, and that's okay. Hard is not the same thing as bad, mm-hmm. but it's going to be hard for everyone. Like, it's a learning for me as a first time mom. It's a learning for the babies to learn how to eat and to like learn how to nurse and be outside in this world. And so I just doused myself with this like empathy for the process and what it was going to entail, and allowing it to be hard, and that it being hard is not anyone's fault. That's just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And even being realistic with myself too, and like setting my mind on, oh, I have two babies to feed. So realistically, one newborn eats 8 to 12 times a day. So two babies eat 12 to, you know, 16, wow.
24 times a day. And just like thinking about what my reality might look like. And I mean, this was very true, even in the labor and delivery, like I had to wrap my mind around all of the possibilities because twin pregnancies are naturally more risky. So I could, and I did have one son in the NICU for like 6 days mm-hmm. and I had one in the hospital room with me. I share a little bit more of that over on my Instagram if someone's curious, but yeah, just really like mentally preparing. What is this going to be like? So that when I was, you know, changing 20 diapers a day, it wasn't this like, oh man, this is so, I wasn't expecting this. It was kind of this, I was expecting this. And it's a lot.
So. Yeah. Wow. That's, I mean, that's incredible. First, I will have all of your resources linked below for, you know, the other twin mamas and expectant mamas out there. It sounds like a really amazing piece of advice to kind of look at what things will be. So you mentioned just what, like, I guess the amount of feeding that happens with twins. Do you mind my asking just out of, you know, curiosity and then hoping that the info will help with that kind of what you're saying, like the what to expect? How did feeding look? Like, did you feed them at the same time or, you know, how did that look?
Yeah, let me go back in my mind to all of those early days. it was always my desire to breastfeed twins. And so that was like my goal. And I have four sisters, three of which have had children. And so I, and my mom also breastfed us. And then on my husband's side, I have a lot of sister-in-laws. So I have a lot of support with that. So I knew that is what I wanted to try. In the hospital, practically speaking, for the first week, one of my sons was with me in my hospital room, and then the other was in the hospital attached in the NICU. So to get out of the hospital, the one in the NICU needed to, you know, just be consuming more things. So we did a combination of bottle feeding with pumped milk and donor milk and exposure to breastfeeding and practice latching. Then I knew when we would get home and be more comfortable, we could really work at it. And they were born at 37 weeks. And so 37 week babies are just very sleepy and it takes them like a lot of energy to nurse and you have to wake them up a lot. So I would say the first month of our feeding journey was a combination. I never let go of breastfeeding and I would try to latch them and, you know, just give them that exposure. But at the end of the day, they needed to eat and they needed calories and they needed food. And so I did a lot of pumping and we gave bottles. And that, looking back, that was necessary because, like, practically to feed, I would have to feed. If I nursed, I'd nurse for 45 minutes, one, then nurse the other for 45 minutes, then I'd have to pump. They would wake back up, both need to be like topped off with a bottle. And then I'd have like 15 minutes before I had to do it all over again. So it just like wasn't sustainable with what they were doing at the moment. But I just always kept breastfeeding available and possible. And as they got bigger, as they got older, as I got more confident in it, then we kind of slowly made that transition. So then there was a period where I did breastfeeding all day and we bottle fed at night. And then my husband was able to help with the feedings at nighttime, which was good. So I would pump and feed a baby and he'd feed a baby. And for the nighttime feedings, we would actually wake, like if one woke up, we'd wake the other one up and I'd pump and we'd sync all three of those things at the same time. Mm. And then we'd get him back to bed and sleep and
wow,
in like 4 hours. And that was probably, I don't know, a few weeks that we did that. And once nursing became more, you know, they got a lot better at it and I felt comfortable doing it at night, then we went to that. And then it just continued to get better. And I was able to just nurse on demand through the night. And I had floor beds in our bedroom once they outgrew the bassinet. Mm-hmm. And so I would just have them on their separate floor beds. When one woke up, I'd nurse them. We may like sideline nurse and fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And then lay them back in their bed when the other one woke up and grab that one and turn sides. And we just would kind of do that all night long.
Wow.
Yeah. And now there was a moment when I remember the day I told my mom that I'm just going to be an exclusive pumper, which if you do that, like, God bless you, because that's
a lot and breastfeeding's a lot. But I remember looking at my counter and seeing all of the bottles and the pump parts and just feeling like, I can't have that all on my counter for the next 12 months. You know, like I not be washing 12 bottles every day. And so that was enough to be like, keep going, keep doing the breastfeeding because you don't have to have bottles to do it. And they still take bottles and, you know, that helps other people still help me when I need to go out or something. But
wow.
Yeah. So now that they're older, I nurse them at the same time, most of the time. Mm-hmm. My one like non-Montessori baby thing that I got, which I would actually recommend if you have twins and you're home alone, is the baby Bjorn bouncer.
Okay.
And I would put one baby and bounce that baby and then nurse the other one and they could look at me and it was like I was holding them when I would use that if they weren't just like content being by their mobiles or something. And that like changed the game because then I felt like I can do this. I'm like two people. I can bounce you and I can nurse you the other one. And, you know, we're all happy and we're not crying and it's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like with the seats, I used a seat too at certain points. Similarly, so my son was born at 36 now. And yeah, and he spent like a week in the NICU. And like you were saying, he was very sleepy and had a hard time latching. And so feeding was hard. So I ended up exclusively pumping. And for some other reasons too, he had like some like mouth stuff and had a really hard time latching. But there were some points like the non-connected pumps that I would use, I would forget to charge them or something like that. And so like I would have, you know, the other pump on and have baby in the seat and I would just be like singing or, you know, just kind of like still interacting and he had reflux, so he needed to be up. So, I mean, I feel like with, even though it's like a non-Montessori thing, if it's helpful to your situation and makes, you know, everybody safer and more prepared, it is A-okay, you guys. It's all right. But that's incredible. I mean, I remember thinking back then, like how everything just felt like I just finished the last feed. Like I would pump and then he would eat and then I would hold him up. And then like we would start that over within the next like, you know, half hour or whatever. And so I can imagine with two. So kudos to you.
That was enough time to like go to the bathroom, get water and then like sit back down.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like reality of like I expected to be sitting in a chair most of my day nursing babies, and so that was reality. And so it wasn't this like I had to give up for the new year saying this would be easier, like if only I had one baby, because I know one baby is like it's hard work being a mama, and it wasn't helpful for me to say that to myself. And so I just had to start saying that, you know, just accepting, like, I have two, and that's wonderful.
For sure. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know feeding journeys are so wild and they like continue to unfold, you know, even as they grow. And so, but thank you so much for sharing that. As far as having twins, what has been, you know, your favorite part or maybe some benefits that you've seen that you may not have known about before you experienced it?
One benefit I have seen is that I had one pregnancy and I have two babies, which is a real gift because pregnancy is hard and that first trimester is not fun. Mm-hmm. At least it wasn't for me. And so I guess I see that as a blessing, thinking like I had to do that once and got two babies out of it, which is awesome. And this is coming out more and more now each day is just that they always have someone there. You know, when I even put them down to go to bed and leave the room, they're not alone. They have their best friend right there. And that's a big comfort for me. Just knowing that they have, you know, another little companion and they're just the best little explorers. So I think that's my favorite part is just seeing their. I don't think, like, I won't ever be able to understand what a special bond they have because they just comfort one another and will lay next to each other and sleep next to each other. They'll have been doing this thing lately where, like, if you imagine, like, a plus sign, one will lay there and then the other one will just go, like, lay right on top of the other and just stay there. I have to go and, like, unstack them sometimes because they don't plan to move. And anyways, I just wonder, like, you just must find so much comfort in that position. I actually found them asleep like that one day One was over top of the other one and fell asleep. And I don't know.
So beautiful.
Nobody cares about seeing some more of that. I share it over on my Instagram. And it's pretty comical, actually. It's maybe my favorite part is all the floor bed pass outs.
That's so cute. Did you find that it was indicative too of what positions they were in while they were in your belly?
I guess I wonder that. It must be. I don't know. I always had a hard time knowing where they were, because actually when one came out, then I was like, oh, that wasn't your head. Those were your feet. Like, there's just ribs in there that I don't know that I...
That's fair.
What was what?
So lastly, for a quick rapid fire question to end our show, what is your current favorite Montessori activity to do with your twin babies?
I just introduced a bead mover, like on the wires, the like...
Oh, very cool.
Beads, and they love that. I also personally really love the like the wooden ring on a wooden dowel. It's kind of like a fun... I mean, I taught in elementary, so giving presentations is fun. But baby presentations are like super simple. You just say like, watch, and then you do the action, and that's it. And it's so enticing to them. So between those two, the bead mover or the ring on a dowel.
I love that. Classic. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. It was so lovely chatting with you, Emma.
Thanks for having me, Bianca.
And that was my conversation with Emma, the Montessori twin mama. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it. I had so much fun chatting with her. So definitely check out her platforms. I will have everything linked below in the show notes so you can find her. It's a great resource if you're parenting multiples. And that's about it. Thank you guys so, so much for listening to this episode and for being in our Montessori Babies podcast community. I always love receiving messages and connecting with you guys. So don't hesitate to reach out on Instagram. You can shoot me a DM. My Instagram is @babytourguide, or shoot me an email. My email is bianca@babytourguide.com. I've loved receiving messages from you guys and connecting with you wonderful parents. I even have some episodes coming up with a couple of you on my show. So I'm so, so grateful to just have our community and be here supporting one another on this beautifully wild ride. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to season 2, episode 23 of our Montessori Babies podcast. And I will catch you in our next episode. Bye. Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of our Montessori Babies podcast. If you found this episode helpful, I would absolutely love if you would screenshot this episode and share it in your stories and tag me @babytourguide. Also, leaving a review is really helpful in helping other parents and caregivers find our show. Dr. Montessori said, "The greatness of the human personality begins at the hour of birth," and you, as their parent and guide or caregiver, are just the perfect person for that job. I'm so, so honored to be even a small part on your journey. And just remember that we're in this together.